Kevin Owens, host of the Overseas Famous Podcast, here to personally invite you to subscribe to our official Patreon. Are you guys ready to take your podcast experience to the next level? Well, with our Patreon, you can do just that. And the best part, pricing starts at just $1. It's like a pack of gum. Less per month. By becoming a Patreon member, you'll unlock a world of amazing perks. We're talking merch giveaways, signed items by our guests, shout-outs on the podcast, exclusive content, and so much more. Not only will you guys get to connect with me and the Overseas Famous community on a deeper level, but you'll also gain access to behind-the-scenes content and early episode releases. So don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Join our Patreon today and become part of the Overseas Famous family. Together, we will make podcast history. Thank you for your support and can't wait to see you on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/overseasfamous to register.
I found out I had COVID and, you know, then that was still kind of like in check. It was like, you couldn't really have access. And I don't know if this was a check thing, but I think it kind of was, because in Germany, you could still get access to like at home tests and like different stuff.
Yeah.
But still kind of like behind the curve on that whole deal for some reason. And like, you couldn't really go to the doctor because of like COVID, but then like it was hard to get testing kit. Like, it was like, what am I supposed to do here? So they were like, we're going to go to the game, just stay at home. And we had like team testing at the gym on like Tuesday, like after, okay, you know, after the weekend of games, and you have like your day off, and then like they had team testing. They're like, just come then and maybe you'll be feeling better. So the whole weekend I'm like, I'm feeling bad, you know what I mean, like this is getting worse. And I was like, I for sure got it, and this was my first time having it. Couldn't even get out of bed for like 3 days, like didn't eat nothing. And it's like, I had just got to this place, you know what I mean? And yeah, like, you know, at that point in time, we were within walking distance of like going to the store. So like my wife, she would like walk to the store, get some stuff, like come up, and like, we're chilling. And next thing you know, like, she's like,
oh shit,
started to feel sick. And I'm like, kind of like a little bit on the, all right, I'm through like those first 3 days, so I'm starting to feel better and stuff. And she had like the 1% version of like that, I forget the word, but it was like COVID feet or some weird thing.
Oh, where, God, like,
feet like swelled up and she couldn't walk.
Wow.
And so yeah, so like at one point in time, I'm still like kind of feeling bad, and she's like literally like crawling on the floor like to go to the bathroom because her feet like hurt so bad. And I'm like, I feel so bad, I can't even pick up like a water bottle, like I'm so weak, you know. So
yeah,
we're just in this like new apartment, new country, like we don't even know really like where anything is. I don't know anyone's name like on the team really, like everyone, like I was just like, we're just in this apartment, like she's crawling around, like, you know, I'm throwing up, like it was ugly.
I remember those symptoms, like when COVID first, before, like I remember you told the story of like some of your teammates were deathly ill before, when I was playing, or not playing, but when I got COVID, I'm pretty sure I got COVID like multiple times.
Yeah. But
I got COVID, I know I had it because it was like November before all that shit happened. Yeah. And I remember taking my, like, I was so weak, I couldn't even take my dog out. Like, I was hunched over, like, almost crawling to take my dog out. Yeah. And I was like, this is not normal. I was like, that's the sickest I've ever been. And then COVID comes later. I'm like, that sucks. And then I got it again. And like, that's when I lost the sense of smell, but I never heard of the feet. That's interesting. I mean, sucks. That's terrible and horrible and like a horrible experience. But
I mean, I was like,
you can laugh about it now.
I know. But I was like, in the moment, I was like, babe, are you serious right now? Like, come on now. Like, you know, like,
don't be so dramatic.
Yeah, because no, like we had this like funny joke of like when I first got it, she was like, like she thought I was like milking it a little bit, you
Yeah.
know, like, hey, can you do this? Like, can you do this? And then like after a certain point, she was like, you're kind of milking it a little bit. And then like when she got sick, I was like, are you milking it a little bit? Like, she's like,
As
no, I'm
she's
serious.
crawling
Yeah. She's like, I'm
to
sorry I said that. I was like, oh, I'm just messing with you. So
the
like nah, like there was a point in time where like I would like carry her to bed, like carry her to the couch because she just like couldn't walk. And then it was like
Oh.
we couldn't go to like the hospital. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know what the hospital system is like there, but like, I mean, first of all, no one wanted to like come to help us because we were like just quarantine central there. And
Yeah.
then it was like there, I don't know if I had health insurance there, like, you know what I mean? So it was
Yeah.
like, I don't know, it was just like a
Here,
weird
here's your
situation.
bill, sir. You'd be like, what?
Yeah. So fast forward now, like we go to do the testing and I get there and obviously, you know, I'm positive. And then they're like, okay, so now that like we have to report that to the league, like your 2 weeks starts now. Like, and I'm like, wait, but I was just like inside for like 4 days. Like, technically, like, you know, I was feeling it on Thursday. So, like, we'll go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like, Monday. Like, what about those days? They're like, yeah, nah, like, it's got to be two, you know, like the government like has that rule and like the league has that rule. And so I was like, all right, I just got to this place and I'm going to spend 2.5 weeks like in my apartment. You know what I mean? And like, by that point, I felt fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. Like, are you sure? Like, is there any way we can, like, you know, they're
Speed this up a little.
like, it was just the craziest thing. So then, like, ended up playing. Like, I don't know. Like, I actually, like, played way better than I thought I would. And I was just absolutely gassed after. And then, you know, from then on, like, you know, it was smooth sailing. And, but that whole thing, like, that, all of that, which, like, to now bring it all kind of together is like the whole thing starting in Cyprus, leading to me, you know, having to then get the German agent, leading me to Germany, back to Germany, then to having that shut down, you know, and me not being able to really get a job, but then having to take the job the next year in the third division, you know, in
Yeah.
Germany, because I have a German agent, right? But having to take it as a power forward, you know what I'm saying? Getting that opportunity and being able to kill there in a good situation, and then leading me to get bought out and go play now my true position in Czech Republic in like a respected like first division,
Yeah.
which happens to be one of my teammates on that Czech Republic team, was the first import for my coach, who ended up being my coach in Japan.
Wow.
Which, and he's a from Czech, like he's a I don't know the correct term, Czech, like
Yeah.
I don't
Check.
know that Czech, is
Yeah.
he's Czech? I would say
I
he's
guess
Czech.
like Czechoslovakian, but like, is that what is that? Do they still use that, or is it
I
just
don't think
Czech
they use
Republic?
that because they're
Yeah.
separate. They're separate,
Yeah.
so. Forgive me for my ignorance, but like he was from Czech and he was my Japanese first Japanese coach's first import ever. And so we
Wow.
became teammates and we were talking like, hey, yeah, he played in Japan and whatnot. And that whole year I was trying to get in Japan because like I said, a lot of my buddies were out here. So then I ended up messaging a guy who was on the team, the Japanese team that season. So I'm still in Czech. We had met through like this shoe group and bought and sold shoes to each other like back in college, right? This is crazy. Like this is how like serendipity, like everything is about like me and basketball. It's crazy. So we had bought and sold shoes together, never knew each other, never really talked about anything else. Now, what's that, 8 years later, I message him because I saw his posted video. I'm like, dang, bro, like you look like you're playing well out there, like you're killing it in Japan, because he was averaging, you know, a lot of points. He's like, yeah, you want to play out here? And I was like, yeah, I do. He's like, cool, send me your highlight tape, I'll give it to my coach. happens to be that his coach, right, was the coach that was the coach of my, you know.
Yeah.
So that was like, I like him, but we're looking for a four. The film that I sent him was of me playing the four, right? Because, like, so I sold myself as being able to be a power forward. And then he knew that teammate in Czech, and he was like, hey, how's this guy? Can he play the four? Like, can he come to Japan and play well? He's like, and he gave me like the yes. So, like, that all tied together to then me being able to get in Japan just because of, you know, running into that teammate and then just staying connect. Like, that whole, like, and what I tell guys all the time, because, like, I help guys, like I said before, I've helped guys get jobs and, like, them with guys who can get them jobs. And I'm sure you've seen it over the years. The guys who end up, you know, consistently staying, like, playing are the guys who are, like, not having resources. There's like a Tony Robbins quote I really like. He's like, it's not about your how many, like, your resources, it's about your resourcefulness,
Yes.
right? So, like, just the guy who sits there and is like, I'm gonna let this one person, whoever their agent may be, I'm just gonna hope that, like, it goes well, especially young, if you have like a small agency and whatnot. Like, you got to be messaging everybody you know, anyone who's overseas that's playing. Like, especially now, guys can have an agent in any country. They can have multiple
Yeah.
agents.
That is
Like,
crazy.
you know, like,
But
that's
good for the player.
it's good for the players. And, like, to be honest, I think it's good for the agents too, because those agents that might be a smaller agencies that do specialize in that country that aren't getting the exposure to these certain, you know, different people, and then they happen to stumble upon someone, you know what I mean? It's just like, I think it's like broadening the network between, like, guys being able to get jobs. That in turn means that more guys are getting jobs and it's harder to get jobs.
Well,
So.
I love the, you talked a little bit about networking, which when everything happens throughout your career, you talked about it. A lot of times, if you have one agent, you're just sitting there waiting. You're not being proactive. You're just waiting, 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 waiting for something to happen. That's what I ended up doing because I didn't, there was only one agent. And I was like, okay, he's getting me a job. And I trusted that he was getting me a job. So I would just wait for his call. But being that proactivity that you are now able to do, it like train when I was doing that, trained my brain to do the same thing when I almost came home. So I got done and I retired, and that part of my brain was still saying, okay, like I sent this out to these people and now I'm waiting. And it wasn't for, it was like 5 years before I kind of started to change my whole entire perspective, like you said. And now it's like, okay, now I know I have to reach out to this network. The ability to have your mindset to be able to reach out to many people, to be able to have multiple agents, it's going to help to reach out to and grow your network. It helps tremendously when you retire because you're already in that mind space where you're being proactive as opposed to just waiting for something to happen. Because our egos take over and we're like, oh, someone's going to offer me a job. And that shit doesn't work. So it's like, okay, let's be proactive. And I think that's a great lesson to be learned.
I think there's like there's also like two there now there's two ways to go about it, and like the way, like, yes, there's you can have multiple agents. Now the like catch 22 on that is that not every agent is willing to let you to work hard for you, and, you know, like, and not
Yep.
know that you're gonna take the job and like get something else. Like, what I've found personally that I do is, you know, now I'm with Wasserman, and so even and then they refer me to Taka-san, who's their Japanese specialist agent. And if I like anything, if I stumble upon anything that like I work with, or sorry, if I get connected with someone who's like connected to a team, and like I'm communicating with like a GM or a coach, or like, because like you could add someone on Facebook and they're like, hey, do you want to come play in Japan? Like, I will always like actively still be trying to be resourceful. But
Yeah.
then bring, like, I look at an agent relationship as like you work together, right? It's not like anyone works for someone or he work for me. Like, I don't work for him. We work together. And like, if I can make his job easier by, hey, like, I heard this from this person, like, let's check it out. You know what I mean? And it could be something that something happened that someone now was there before and it just happened so quickly. And now it's like, now there's an opportunity there. You never know how that can work. And like, I always recommend too, like, it's just like the loyalty of like, if you can find someone that you can be loyal to. Now, like, everyone's got different situations and like, everyone's got different, there's a lot of different qualities of agents out there. And so, like, at the end of the day, like, you just got to trust your gut. Like, I've been through a lot. Like, I've worked with like probably more agents than I've wanted to, you know, and just been like kind of in situations that I didn't feel like were really honestly acceptable to like put, you know, a guy and his wife in and like perform. And I'm just happy now that it's led me to now where I'm at. And it's led me to now be like, you know, with an agency who has connections like all over the world. And like, it wouldn't have happened had I not gone through everything. And so, like, I look back and I'm like, I can't ever say, like, I wish I would have did this instead of this, 'cause it could have just changed the whole trajectory of what was going to happen. You know what I mean? And it's like, my teammate last year, Josh, was just like, you're always where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And you kind of just gotta like take that for what it is. It's like I said, like, had I gone home, like, I probably wouldn't be in Japan right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's
It's
like,
just, it's crazy how the ball bounces, and you, if you Yeah, if you almost kind of not gave up, but were just like, all right, screw this, I'm not staying here, then the whole trajectory changes. And when you talk about like teammates, I mean, it's so important. I always tell players, like, be a good teammate, because you never know when those situations will come back to help you. And I had a guy, Keeney Young, who I played with in South Korea, but then we ended up playing together, being imports together. Later in Europe. And it's like, it's crazy because we were teammates twice, but it's like his connections, him reaching out to my agent, we almost were able to get back into that space. And it's just, basketball is a small world. When you are in that space, it's a small world. So making those connections, it's going to help you get a job down the road. And if you're a dick, like, people are, and someone's, and you have a guy who was your teammate sitting on that team, they're not going to want to play with you. They're going to be like, oh, do you hear about this? Me, like, nah, not him.
Yeah, I mean, because realistically, and what it is where, what, no matter what country you're in, if they know that an import player has been a teammate with that local player, like, it's almost like their say is like, hey, it's kind of on you. You know what I mean? Because you're gonna tell us the real, because it's not the imports team. This is wherever this country is and whatever part of the world, this is their team. This is their country. This is their culture. And we're just fortunate enough to be there and play there and be able to make, you know what I'm saying? So, like, embracing the culture, like, all that stuff, and like, not, like you said, like, not being a bad teammate, because they're gonna be like, you want to play with this guy? And then if you're fortunate enough to be in a situation where, like you said, your American friend is like trying to get you to play with him, like, it's on you to obviously do your thing. But then, like, I've been in this situation where I've gotten guys jobs with me, and even last year in Japan, and it's like, it was on my word. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are my boys. But it's like, whatever happens, it's like, because I said that it, like, that they were okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were good. Like, it's all good. And it's like, you know, thankfully, like, I've never been in a situation where it hasn't been good. Like, I, you know, have good friends and like good guys. And like, I'd like to think that I'm a good guy, you know what I'm saying? And it's, but there are situations where it's not like that, and you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you can, at the end of the day, they're not going to sacrifice a season for you. I mean, like, you are interchangeable. So it's like, your attitude is just so important, so important.
Well, it's funny because I just wrote a newsletter about this, and I kind of talked about the culture and embracing that culture, and not just like, hey, I'm like you said, learning the language and things like that. It's more about like understanding what that city or that team might represent to those fans. Like, I grew up, I'm a huge Phillies fan. I've been since my whole entire life. Like, I've been going to Phillies games since I was a baby. And now, when you go look at a guy like Bryce Harper, he comes in and he immediately like embraces Philadelphia, and he's like, this is what Philadelphia is. Jalen Hurts comes in and is like, this is what Philadelphia is. Like, they're that hardworking, tough, and they just embrace that model, and they play the game that way, and they embrace the fans that way. And I'm like, if overseas athletes start realizing that and researching the team and being like, okay, this is what they want, this is what they need, you could end up being a fan favorite. And if you're a fan favorite, and you're averaging 18 points a game, and there's might be a guy out there who's averaging 20, but the fans love you. Why? They're at the end of the day, it's a business. If they're going to pay to watch you play, as opposed to a guy who might average 2 points more, they're going to want that. But you have to embrace, you have to take over that culture and be like, this is who I am. I want to be Bryce Harper of the Czech Republic. Like, those are the things that you can do and really take over a market where your marketability for that team, because you've embraced their culture, is just through the roof. And that's an incredible thing.
Yeah, because like, I'm sure that you've seen this, plenty of times throughout your years playing, is like, once you get to like a certain level, like overseas, the talent, like, it's pretty like, okay, you have like your like bottom teams, like in certain leagues where it's just like, you take that out, but like, your top tier, and then you're like playoff contending that like are good enough to like steal a couple games. All of those teams, like the real difference of like, unless you just have like, we've just really have a huge budget and like nothing matters, we're gonna beat everyone. You know what I mean? But like, the main like difference in all like those teams is like, who has the best locker room? You know what I mean? Like, who's like buying into like this system? Who's gonna just leave their ego like before they got on the plane to even come over there? You know what I mean? And it's like, you kind of got to get lucky, especially because most teams, you never see a full team stay together more than 1 year. And if it starts with just yourself, of just like, what can I do to just try to add to this culture? And by culture, I mean team culture. What can I do to like not take away from it and help us win? You know what I mean? You can go over there and get buckets, but like, if that chemistry's not there, you can't sustain a full season and like just keep climbing. There's gonna just be every team is gonna face some sort of adversity, and if there's any sort of like division at any point, that's gonna like show in those times of like chaos and like confusion. And those teams that can just snap and get together and like pull it off, and then like those are the teams that win. And it's like a big, a big key in that is the Americans coming over and just like, it's not all about me. And like, what can I do to like fill whatever role is mine? You know what I
It's,
mean?
and I think when it's just that there's so many takeaways, but I always bet in the NCAA tournament and you fill out your bracket. And as I've gotten older, and I started playing and what have you. Used to bet on like the teams that were the like those sexy teams, the Kentuckys and stuff. Now you're kind of looking at it and look at what happened, like UConn, who is a very strong team, but you have a core of guys that have been together for a long period of time. And overseas doesn't do that because the Kentuckys are never really winning in the NCAA tournament. Because when it comes, they can have a great record throughout the year. But when it comes down to those tough games, if you have a group of guys who've been together for a year, playing against a group of guys who've been together for four, it's going to make a difference. And those little moments, like you talked about, are going to change the game and cause an outcome that, will favor the four-year players. That's what overseas lacks. Everything is just, you are just shifting jobs and shifting jobs. And we talked a little bit about FIBA, and we'll get into that in a second. But like those shifting of jobs, it's like no one overseas in management, not no one, but a lot of people overseas in management don't think that way. They're just like, okay, here's a new young guy. He'll be good. This guy's good. This guy's good. They're athletic, blah, blah, blah. But they don't actually hold on to those players that have helped them grow. And even if they're like, okay, this guy might be a year away, they don't develop American players. There's no development overseas. It's like you got to come in and be the star. If you're not, you're out and you have to find another job. And there's no like thought process of, well, let's just keep this group together and let's see what we can build. Because while we might not be there this year, they're not looking 2 years down the road. Everything is just a now game. It's like dealing with freaking teenagers right now. Everything is about now. And I think overseas management thinks like that. They're not thinking long term, which is why all this stuff happens, because now they're shifting and shifting and shifting and there's no loyalty. And then you get into FIBA and it's like there's this whole entire issue of just, what these teams are doing. Like we talked a little bit about this. You had said you could look up all these things like FIBA. You can see what teams are a disaster, what teams have bans, what teams have these issues, and what teams are loyal to their players. And that's just a huge thing, because not many people do that research before they go. They don't research the city, they don't research the fan base, they don't research the team and see if this is something that they should be doing or should not.
Yeah, I will definitely like to answer your first section of what we were talking
Yeah,
about,
I
and then
talk
no, you're good, you're good.
a
I can follow. The not building or like keeping a team together and like and that, I definitely saw that pretty much everywhere I was when I was playing in Europe, because there's just I don't know, and that might be the reasoning of why you said that is it might be that it might just be that's just the way that it's always been, and like there's so many guys that are just trying to get like who will play for cheaper also, like that takes a toll in it too. Now since I left that world and then like came over into playing in Japan, I have noticed that it's total, and I can only speak for Japan. I can't speak for other like Asian countries and how they run their leagues. I can only speak for Japan, is that the main focus is different from what I've seen in other countries. The main focus is okay, what kind of person is this player, right? Are they a good teammate? Are they respectful? Can they, have like we're gonna figure out what kind of person this is. Like with the teams that I've like been recruited by and played for, we're doing Zoom interviews like to have conversations with the people who are in the organization, in the clubs, to like, hey, what kind of like can we have a conversation? Like we want to hear you tell us face to face, what do you think about this? Like what are your goals? Like what is this? Like and really kind of getting a feel for like me or like whoever it is. And I've also seen a lot in all leagues out in all three leagues here, is that the guys who are like the stand-up guys and the good also good basketball players, they do stick and start like they do stick. And that's why it is hard to get out here, because there are guys that are really good players and really good people that are staying and building with the team, because here in Japan, they do understand that it takes a couple years to build that chemistry, to become a team, and what it takes. And then it's like, so you do see that the number of newcomers that are coming to these leagues is not as much as it is in other countries. And so it's like, it's almost like that if a new guy does come to a team, it's a guy that's already been here and shown what kind of person he is. And like, it's almost like an NBA of its own, if that makes sense. You know, like you see the talent, you see what kind of player and person this is. We feel like that he might fit a little bit better on our team. This guy might fit, you know, and you kind of are like rotating and shuffling. And then like teams are putting together like, oh, this was the piece we were missing, and now they like are winning. You know what I mean? And so it's like, now that I've seen that, I'm like, I'm aspired, like that's what I want to do. I'm like, I want to build with a team, you know, like, can you imagine just going home, coming back to like all your stuff in the place you left it, and not having to like, you know, bounce around and bounce around. And so it's like, I'm really enjoying the place that I'm at, and like, it's like, I think that we're gonna be pretty good this year. And so like, if I had the opportunity to keep like building with like one team, like I'd be like, let's do it, man, because like that's what leads to winning. And like at this point in my career, that's what's most important. You know what I mean? So.
I think that's incredible, and I think that's spot on. Australia does it to some extent. I think Australia has become such a, it's like it almost like becoming a more of an NBA pipeline. So you have a lot of good imports and guys coming over, and they're not as much. But when I played, it was still a great league, but you kind of stuck around if you were a good guy, if you were there. Because I went there and ended up turning down an offer to stay in that league, to go to South Korea, where it was just a disaster. But that was one of those situations where when I'm in Australia, I was like, I could have stayed there and just continued playing and bounced around and been in that league, because I know most of those imports who go there, they end up staying there because it's obviously a great place to live. But on top of that, they build that team chemistry. And that was a big thing. Now it's almost different. They're like bringing the top players. But I think just having that whole thought process is great, because I'm looking at, I will scroll through social media and be like, okay, I see that these top EuroLeague teams, there's some guys that are sticking around, but which is great, like Partizan, like James Nunnally and Mike James and stuff. But there's always those shifts. There's always those shifts, and like they're bringing in five imports, and they're all ex-NBA players. Now those other five are moving around. It's tough, because you can't really develop that team, and you can get superstars in this whole thought process of get three superstars together. It's tough. You don't really see those teams winning too much in the NBA. You don't see them winning too much in college. It's just, you don't see it happening overseas either.
I don't know, you see it happen in the NBA, and like, and now you're seeing it happen in college with guys transfer rule, and like it's getting crazy to where it's hard to find a place in the world that is sticking it out. You know what I mean? Like, guys are making how many hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're like, oh, something didn't go my way, I'm not playing here anymore. Like, what? Like, I don't care what, if someone said they were gonna do something and didn't do it, you know, there's the unnamed guy who's kind of doing that right now in the world. But it's like, can you imagine a guy overseas, you know, like that just went to Europe and like he got lied to and said he wasn't gonna play anymore?
It
It'd be like,
happens daily over there.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how many times in the 3 weeks I was in Cyprus I got lied to. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's just like stuff happens, stuff doesn't come together. You think it's gonna be one thing and it's another. But guess what? Like we're anyone at any level, at any amount of money is fortunate enough to be playing basketball and getting paid. You know what I'm saying? And there's just a culture that's like has been, now you see it's like any sort of like adversity, it's transfer. I'm not playing here. I'm gonna go somewhere else. it's not me, it's everybody else. You know what I mean? And it's just like I don't like that. You know what I mean?
I
As a guy
no,
who
like
played
the
3 years, yeah, like I'll go, I was gonna say, as a guy who
no.
played 3 years at the same high school, had plenty of adversity. You know, there were times I went home and I was like, man, I'm done here. Or like I was in college, 4 years at the same college. There's many a times where I was like, oh no, man, like I'm out of here. I'm gonna sit out and like go somewhere. But guess what? It's like you wake up the next day and you're like, you know what? I'm gonna be better. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? If I am just better than what I was, then stuff will work out. Like stuff will always work out if you can be a better basketball player, you can be a better person. If you can just improve yourself, the situation somehow always gets better. You know what I mean?
And when you talk about that, like we're talking about this unnamed assailant in a situation. It's trust me, I'm like in the thick of it. I'm wearing actually an Allen Iverson shirt right now, but
Yeah, we're talking about
so I'm like a huge Sixers fan. The thought process, and it's the same thing we were just talking about, is when you think that it's a one-on-one battle, and it's just like this guy lied, I'm not okay with it, this is bullshit. It's not one-on-one. You're forgetting that there's an entire organization, there's entire history, there's alumni, there's an entire city who is now like, what in the world is happening? And it's not a thought, it's just like it becomes this entitlement to, it's a one-on-one battle. This guy did this, I'll never do this again. And you're like, well, hold on, like you're trying to get the guy fired. I get it, but at the same time, you have a whole entire city, you have a whole entire fan base hanging in the balance. And that's what we forget a lot of times as athletes, is like, it's not about us. It's like this whole entire experience is about the fans. It's the fans are the ones who are building this. The fans are the ones we're entertaining. Yes, we are the best basketball players in the world and overseas athletes. I mean, we talk about how many, I think overseas, like when you talk about those players, like I always said, I was like, at one time, I was probably one of the top 800 basketball players in the world, because we're like on that cusp of the NBA and there's only so many roster spots. I'm like, you're so close, but like you we're so driven by it that we forget that it's not just about us. Like our goals are incredible and our accolades, but we're representing people who are paying us this money because they are fans, because they enjoy this, because they love watching us play. And there's so much money being made out there that's why that money's going there. When we talk about all these different places where money's going, I'm like thinking of U.S. women's national team, men's national team. It's like there's a ton of money. So when that money is being split up, that's why we're being paid what we are. But we have to be respectful to the situations that we're in, and we just are losing that respect for the cities, for the game, just because we're so hell-bent on our own personal, I need this accolade, I need to retire here, I need this championship, I need this. And it's like, there's more, it's more. This game is more than just us. And it's just people are losing that, and the entitlement is growing. And high school, like, I mean, kids are just transferring because they see these pros do it, and they're like, I'm not, this isn't a good situation. I'm like, dude, you're in high school. I'm like, what situation is good in high school? I was like, you're good in high school, you will be found. This is high school. Like, you're not playing it like under a rock, like you're playing AU and doing all this. If you're good, you will be good. But you jumping around is actually hurting, and no one really understands. It's hurting your status to get college, because they're like, why did you transfer? I'm like, oh, and you better be real good, because if you transfer for some bullshit, your coach is gonna be like, nah, because you're gonna do the same thing in college. Like, why do they want to deal with that? It's just wild. The
Exactly.
culture is killing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, everyone that plays basketball at a professional level is, you know, setting an example for even like the next generation of kids who, even if they're not like quote unquote like fan of you, like they look at you as what, like they want to be doing what you're doing. And then it's like basketball is emulated based off of what we see like the best of the best do, you know? It's like you just look at the history of basketball and like the impact that especially like the big names have had on like the culture of basketball. Like you're wearing the AI shirt, like there was like white kids that had AI braids. You know what I mean? Like, talk about that. Like, about how big of an impact that he had. And it's like, you can go down the line of just like the impact that all these guys have had through the years, not only just on culture outside of basketball, culture within basketball, how you act on the court, like for guys that are acting crazy on the court, crazy towards refs, like then that's like passed down. Then you see guys in college doing it, then you see high schoolers doing it, and it's just like every little thing slowly, slowly, slowly is like, then you look back at how basketball was back, you know, whenever, and you look at how it is today, you're like, whoa, like the game has really transformed. And that's not always a bad thing in certain areas, you know what I mean? But like, it's a thing where you got to really be mindful of like the example you're setting, and like always pretend like, you know, my child, what I want my child. You know what I'm saying? Like, how would I feel if I was a parent and my child was acting like that? Would I be telling them it was okay? You know what I mean? And so,
It is crazy because the parents almost get into this whole thought, but like I just think when the parents like don't understand, and that's a problem too. Like the parents don't have an understanding of how it works or what they do and the consequences that will have, because they only are only looking at, you know, this person and this person, this person, but they're not, they don't really understand. And there's no education. Like we're building education for young athletes and college athletes and pro athletes. We're building a whole educational platform and system, but it's there. It's something that was lacking because people don't have the really advice. And when you have no advice and you're listening to an AU coach or something, and they're like transfer, it's like, okay. And the parents are like, well, they're not playing a ton, or they could get better stats here, and they're not going to get recruited here. It's just a wild situation. And sometimes the parents need to be the ones who are level-headed. And when you have a lot of parents who aren't level-headed, that's what's going to happen. It's going to cause a shift.
I think that it's an interesting, we're in an interesting like transitional phase right now between like when I was in and like how I'm 28, like
I'm
how much older?
43.
Okay, so you're like the generation before me. So like in my generation, you know, we were like right before the boom of like social media, there in your city there was like one dude who'd get like a hoop mixtape and he was the guy, like if you weren't living in Cali or like, you know, something like that. But like now people are turning into like celebrities as like sophomores in high school, and there's a lot of attention and fame, and now you're getting money involved, and like what, like it's like almost like there's not been enough examples of what happens, which there is now. You're starting to see of like what happens if you don't con like not control, but like if you don't parent a child, like they're not a like an NBA player, they're not a grown up, they're not an adult. You know what I mean? So you can't like, but when you start to get blinded by the bright lights and start to think, let's just let them keep doing it because it's working, and now you give this person like millions of dollars, or like, you know, you get into a situation, it's just like it happens so fast. And if like the proper like discipline, right? Because like you even get coaches that have never, and you know, like for example, you get a high school coach that has never had a player of a certain caliber, there's no controlling that player, there's no coaching that player. Like it's an enablement from, you know, these sensational kids of starting in fourth grade that are celebrities, and now they've never been told no their whole life. You know what I mean? And it's like when I was in high school, I learned how to use iMovie, get the film from the broadcast view, clip my own clips. Like, you know, I say this all the time, and I'm like, you know, I played at Garfield High School, which is the same high school that Tony, you're a Sixer, so Tony Roten, I played with, like Brandon Roy, I mean, I can go down the list. Trey Simmons, I don't know if you heard that name. He played
Okay.
overseas.
Yeah.
So, like, all those guys went to Garfield. And so I played at a place where it's like, yes, we were the best in the state, but like Washington was like still a unscathed, like, hotbed. Like, we've
Yeah.
always had talent. You know what I'm saying? We've always had talent. It's always been there. You can go down the list of all the guys who have made it and even didn't make it. And like now they're seeing like, guys like Paolo, like you guys got, like we got guys in the NBA and like
Yeah.
kind of getting that recognition now of like, hey, these guys got talent. And now like you're seeing a lot of guys out of Seattle like get the recognition they deserve, which is
Yeah.
great. I'm so happy for that because like, it's been, there's a lot of guys that slip through the cracks. And it's just like, I always think too, I'm like, man, if I had Ballers Life like at my game when like, in my league. So we played against Zach LaVine. Like
Okay.
I grew up playing AAU with Zach. And so like, great dude. Like always been like a hell of a player. Like, I mean, you just knew like his dad would. We would have a 9 a.m. game or 8 a.m. game an hour away. They'd be outside in the park with the headlights on, like at 7 a.m. So like he was up at 5, like drove out there, went through a full hour and a half workout before the game, went for like 40, and then like we had like four games that day. In between games, he's at the park like working on what he didn't do good in the game, and it was just like, dude. I'm like thinking like I just started playing basketball like a year ago. Like, but like I think about times like I'm playing against Zach. Like there's like this one game in my high school that like has always been, I can't even find the film for it, but we're playing Zach's team. It's a sold out game, the most packed high school game, probably like top five ever, like in the Seattle area. I mean, there was standing room only. They turned away like 500 people. We had Steve Ballmer sitting on the floor, like on the floor, not even on like a chair, but he's like a, he, before he was the Clippers, like he was with Microsoft, but he's always been a big basketball junkie.
Yeah.
And they're on the floor on the baseline, like crisscross applesauce, like ready. You know what I'm saying? And so we beat them by 21 and I dropped 40 on those guys. And imagine the Ball is Life headline of like a random white kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see how there's always like those, like, white kid drops 40 on CLA, McDonald's all.
Your name's not even in the headline. It's
Yeah,
just
my
like
name's not even in there. I don't get tagged, but they're like, who is this kid? And then, like, every like college that like is looking for a wing is like, we need this kid. And it's like, then I'm posting jerseys, like not committed, like never did that. You know what I'm
No.
saying? There was never any of that. And so it's just like, it's just a different era, man. Like, and you gotta love it for what it is, but there's certain parts of every era that kind of get probably a little bit too,
Yeah.
out of reach in certain areas. And it's like, hey, like we know you guys are getting like hundreds of thousands of followers, but you're in high school, you know what I mean? Like it's okay to just grind it out, like it's okay to grind. And the college kids too, like college kids are, there's college kids right now that are not even top five rotational guys that are not gonna make more than 1500 a month in their first job overseas,
Yep.
making 50 grand in
Yeah.
college. So like,
It's
let's talk about that.
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Why that's it is a crazy topic because you're gonna see more now with NIL and everything, you're gonna see more like of a shift back to college, and the NCAA tournament's gonna be a bigger thing. I mean, it's crazy because I watched every not every game, but like that Final Four of the women's, I was in. I mean, now I'm sitting there with my daughter watching, who loves basketball, and we're watching every game, and it's like crazy exciting. And then I really didn't watch. I like kind of was it was on the background, or maybe I like missed a little bit of the men's, or I fell asleep because the game started. I mean, you're from that Seattle area. I'm on the East Coast, so when that game starts at like almost 9:30 at night, I'm like, I'm just an old man. I'm like, I can't stay up. But the women's game was so much more interesting, and a lot of it had to do with, like you were saying, you had the best players are still in college. The best girls basketball players are still in college. They're not jumping to the WNBA. They're like, I'm staying. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. It's
They're making more money than
yeah.
they'll in their entire career.
Why would they leave? It doesn't make sense. Yep.
I'd say, could I have a seventh year?
Yeah.
Like
Keep
I can make
it going.
5 million. I can make $5 million. You know what I mean? So it's like unfortunately though, I don't know. We haven't really seen the effect that that's gonna have on overseas
Yeah.
basketball yet. But we're almost there. I feel like next year is going to kind of be like the first time where you have kids who have played like in college their whole time. They've been pros their
Yep.
whole time. You know, they're making money. And I'm not going overseas to live somewhere where, you know, like I'm not like in my mind, it's like, why would I do that?
Yeah.
I have hundreds of thousands of dollars that I've earned my bank account. And so it's like that dynamic is it's kind of scary to think about because guys aren't gonna they're gonna what are they gonna do? Are they gonna
Yeah.
go play and got money? But you know there's gonna be guys that are gonna be like, no, nah, I'm not doing that.
And
And
yeah,
so
that mental shift will happen too, because you go in and your value in college is up here, and then your value overseas is down here, and you're going in with this mindset like, my value's up here. They're like, no, your value's down here. And like, how are you going to mentally overcome that you are like, everyone wants a piece of you here? And then you go overseas and you're playing in a small league in like a second division, and no one knows who you are, no one knows what you do, and you're just like this nameless face.
you gotta, again, be a good teammate, be
Yeah.
a good player, like grind it out every day, like not have everything at your like disposal, like not have Amazon, you know, Prime delivery for certain things in certain places, like not have access to your favorite foods if that's like a big deal. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
like, is that transition and buy-in going to be possible for the, you know what I'm saying? And then like, then it brings you to the thing of like, you see the TBL is starting to like get a little bigger. So like, are guys going to forego going overseas and stay home and just say, I'll stay at home
Yeah.
and just in the TBL and like the TBT in the summer and like playing the pro-ams and
Yep.
like, you know what I'm saying? Like we haven't seen what's gonna happen, but like it's very interesting, like how, because that's like you have a lot of things you're seeing, like the development, like oh this is so great, but then it's like there's stuff after that's
Yep.
gonna like, you know what I mean?
What's
So
up? We'll talk. It's been truly a pleasure having you on. We could have done 37 episodes of this,
oh
because
man.
it's just, I think, just we've d dissected a lot of what goes on in overseas basketball, and it's just a tremendous thing. We are so excited to have you on for two episodes. This was truly a great podcast. It was great radio for the fans. So we hope you guys all enjoyed these two episodes, because it was truly a pleasure talking to you, and your insight is fantastic. And we will be watching your career. We'll be in touch, and we're very excited. So thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Overseas Famous Podcast. I am Kevin Owens. We will see you guys for our season finale next week, where we will talk to the owners of Loop Mogul and also answer our mailbag questions to wrap up season 5. See you guys next week.